Spaghetti Vongole, squeeze and pulling muscles from a shell, and before that, Aztec Cameron, Summer in My Heart. It's 8:15, the Full English Breakfast Show. The International Space Station, Bidadieu on Tuesday, to 12 bottles of Bordeaux wine and hundreds of snippets of grapevines that spent a year orbiting the world in the name of science. The wine and vines and thousands of euros worth of other gear and research, including mice, will splash down on board a SpaceX Dragon capsule today in the Gulf of Mexico off the coast of Tampa. The bottles of wine, each bottle nestled inside a steel cylinder to prevent breakage, remained corked aboard the orbiting lab. What a shame. Must be quite nice having a glass of wine in space. None of the bottles will be opened until the end of February. That's when Space Cargo Unlimited, the company behind the experiments, will pop open a bottle or two for tasting in Bordeaux by some of France's top connoisseurs. The months of chemical testing will follow. Researchers are eager to see how space alters the sedimentation and bubbles. Is it really worth it? Agriculture and science was the primary objective, said Nicolas Gome, the company's CEO and co-founder, although he admits it will be fun to sample the wine. The goal is to tackle the solution of how we're going to have an agriculture tomorrow that is both organic and healthy and able to feed humanity, and we think space has the key, he said. Now, with climate change, he said agricultural products such as grapes will need to adapt to harsher conditions. Through a series of space experiments, Space Cargo Unlimited hopes to take lessons learned from stressing the plants in weightlessness and translate that into more robust and resilient plants on Earth. There's also another benefit. He expects future explorers to the Moon and Mars will want to enjoy some of Earth's pleasures. Being French, he said, is part of life to have some good food and good wine. Gomes said private investors helped fund the experiments. He declined to provide the project cost. The wine hitched a ride to the space station in November in 2019 aboard a Northrop Grumman supply ship. The 320 Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon vine snippets, called Canes in the grape-growing business, were launched by SpaceX last month. Well, it's in Bordeaux. It's amazing. You think there's nothing happening in the vineyards at this time of year, but they're all there sort of pruning the vines.
A busy time.
It is. Mm. Yeah. I wonder if they'll ever sort of produce wine on the moon. Chateau Sea of Tranquility. 8:16.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Good morning, good morning. And a bon année to you all. We start the year looking for a special someone who is a paid-up member of the Rottweiler fan club. They are apparently the eighth most popular dog in the States, but this is actually the first one we've featured. So today's woofer is called Rocco, and he's 5 years old. And we're looking for someone who will take the time to get to know him and help him settle in, of course. He's had training, so he can walk nicely on a lead. He is calm, he's not destructive, and a garden would be a real bonus. If you think you can meet his needs and would like to find out more about Rocco, he's at the Refuge de l'Espoir in Mougins, so you'll need to call 0493654411, or you can email spa.grass@orange.fr to find out more or to arrange a time to meet him. And just to say that he can only be adopted in the Zero Cease department.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woofiera Radio.
Eyes down for a full house.
Yes, I think you can do this. I went back to 1977 because it was the song that I... It was my earworm yesterday as I was mopping up. Ooh. So 1977, this year was the Silver Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II in the UK. In 1977, a new smaller £1 note was introduced in the UK. Liverpool are English League champions for the 10th time.
You had to get that in, didn't you?
And the Morecambe and Wise Christmas show on BBC One television attracts an audience of more than 28 million viewers, one of the highest ever in UK television history.
Was that the one with Angela Rippon in it?
I think it may well be. Question number one. The Wings had the top-selling single of 1977 with which song?
Mull of Kintyre.
Correct. The best British male solo artist of 1977 was awarded at the Brit Awards to who?
Didn't know the Brit Awards were going in 1977.
Yeah, was it Elton John, Cliff Richard, Rod Stewart or Tom Jones?
Elton John, Cliff Richard, Rod Stewart or Tom... It had to be Rod Stewart, wouldn't it?
No, it was Cliff Richard.
Was
Sorry.
Cliff's got a Brit.
He certainly has. And finally, in 1977, this song was released. It was initially recorded as a joke, but was played by accident on BBC Radio 1 by DJ John Peel, resulting in numerous requests for additional plays, and it became number one in the UK in February 1978, spending 11 weeks in the chart. The Jamaican duo, teenagers at the time...
Altair and Donna.
Well done.
Uptown top ranking.
Exactly. They became the youngest female duo to reach the number one spot on the UK chart.
I love this record.
Well, that was my earworm yesterday.
Absolutely love it. Yeah, I've had Christmas carols going around my head for the last couple of days.
Dear,
so it's
dear,
a bit too
dear.
Late. I didn't have them before Christmas or during Christmas. They just suddenly appeared a couple of days ago.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Hi.
Good morning.
You all right?
Yeah, am I all right?
Yes.
Let's start, you know... What sort of question is that?
Well, I'm just asking you, are you all right?
Very casual.
Not half left, all right.
Are you having a good morning, Mr. Potts? Yes, I am, thank you.
Going stir crazy yet?
Pretty much. Listen, as soon as the homeschooling computer fires up and maths is on the agenda once again, it's a day of a battle, there's no doubt about it.
Well, I hope that Henry's got the hang of the Bretton Woods conference now, you know, because that's important stuff he needs to know, isn't it?
He's good on the gold standard. He's also good at unmuting teachers, pinning them, playing around with the computer. So you've got to sort of grab the mouse as quickly as you can, take the keyboard away from him. I'm sure many parents at home are enjoying the fun of homeschooling.
You could get Gordon Brown in to explain the gold standard to him, couldn't you?
He wasn't very good on it himself, to be honest with you.
Okay, markets, small gains on Wall Street yesterday, all hopes being pinned on a rapid rollout of vaccines to control the coronavirus pandemic.
Very much so. In some ways, you could argue US stocks really struggled for a bit of direction yesterday. We know that index has been hovering close to record levels. Investors questioning elevated valuations against the backdrop of rising treasury yields, which you could maybe argue will eventually, and eventually is probably the key word, provide greater competition for the equity-only trade. Investors are intensely focused on, as you say, the vaccine. They're also looking at the prospects of additional US stimulus, which will spur more bond issuance and in turn higher yields. 10-year treasury yields have been trading at 10-month high, or at 1.1% or just above that, but we did hear from Fed officials yesterday saying there's not going to be a rapid reduction in bond purchases, so perhaps putting somewhat of a cap on those yields. In Europe, stocks were unchanged. In Asia, we saw China's CSI 300 index rally to a 13-year high, driven by a surge in demand for financial and security stocks. S&P 500 was up 0.2%. NASDAQ closed up 0.3%. Looking at a mildly positive start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 11 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 9 points. CAC 40 in Paris also up 9 points.
Europe stocks are unchanged. I got it here. The FTSE was down 0.6%.
Stock 600 was effectively unchanged. The FTSE 100
was
underperformer.
Britain isn't part of Europe anymore, so I let you get away with that.
Exactly right, and you can't give us any speeding fines in France anymore. I was reading in the White Times this morning, so
yes.
Some good news. Brexit continues to pay off, although we can't charge you, apparently, either. So
the White Times, is that what you financial guys refer to as the London Times?
The London Times,
as
yes.
Opposed to the pink one?
Correct.
Right. OK, well, the good news is, yes, you can't get a speeding fine in France, but the bad news is you're banned anyway, so you can't come in.
That's true.
You can keep your coronavirus variants to yourself. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Now, it's been an incredibly tough time for Boeing, and I'm sure the weekend's crash in Indonesia won't have helped the company either.
No, it's a miserable set of figures coming through from Boeing. Tough year, of course, the aviation industry in general, but particularly for Boeing. Boeing delivered 60% fewer aircraft to customers last year than in 2019, which was less than a third of the deliveries of rival Airbus and the lowest for 43 years. Deliveries, you say, impacted by a range of factors, the coronavirus, the grounding of that 737 MAX jet and production flaws in its 787 Dreamliner. For last year, Boeing delivered 157 airplanes. That was down from 380 in 2019. 806 jets were delivered in 2018. By comparison, Airbus posted stronger than expected deliveries, 566 planes last year. Although, to be fair, that was still down 34% on the previous record year. But helping Airbus to claim the title as the world's largest plane maker title Boeing held from 2012 to 2018. Turn to the outlook. Boeing's gross orders last year was just 184 jets, down 25% over 2019 and the lowest since 1994.
Yeah, I mean, just to point out that the crash in Indonesia didn't involve a 737 MAX, but there are all sorts of questions still hanging over those planes, even though they've been given air certification again.
They have been given air certification either after extensive review of the plane. It was 20 months in order to conclude that. Boeing, of course, agreed to pay a multi-billion dollar fine to provide compensation not only to the victims of those two fatal crashes, but also to provide compensation to airlines as well. So it's certainly been a very dark chapter in the plane maker's history.
Is that you banging in the background there?
I don't think so, but no? I can do if you'd like.
No, I thought it was Mrs. Potts giving little Henry his how to be a top rock drummer lesson this morning.
There are movements towards Henry, but certainly during homeschooling, but it's not about how to bash drums, believe me. There's a lot of muting, intense shouting and unmuting going on.
Oh dear. DHL, didn't they do well, apart from in the UK where they're not delivering anymore?
Deutsche Post reported record earnings as DHL Express delivery arm benefited from a surging home shopping during the course of the coronavirus crisis. Earnings jumped 17% last year, came in at 4.5 billion euros. Demand was strongest, as you probably expect, before Christmas, as consumers were caught in lockdowns and businesses were sending more documents. A lack of freight space on passenger flights also drove demand for DHL's fleet of more than 260 cargo planes and encouraged the company to order 8 Boeing 777 freighters. Positive outlook coming through from the company. It's a delivery firm is predicting further gains in profit for this year and next. Deutsche Post shares up 20% over the course of the past year.
And I know that you had a bit of trouble getting Zoom working when your ISDN broke down, but it doesn't seem to stop them.
No, Zoom doing very well, seeking to raise $1.5 billion through a stock offering as it capitalises on surging demand for the video conferencing platform during the course of the pandemic. New shares will start trading, I think, today, actually. Zoom shares have gained 360% over the course of the past 12 months. Stock has become somewhat of a barometer for the pandemic, rising, of course, when COVID-19 lockdowns are enforced, falling on positive vaccine news. Zoom is still forecasting explosive growth for this year, including guidance that sales will rise 330% in the current quarter. However, as you go through the year, we know the comparatives, of course, will get tougher, and maybe you have to start to question some of these growth rates if indeed workers flood back to the office and people decide to socialise in person in an increasingly vaccinated world.
I think they'll have to improve their sound quality a bit, though, won't they?
Are you not a Zoom fan?
Well, it's okay, but the sound was a bit ropey from time to time, and I found Skype's a lot better recently, actually.
Yeah, Skype is good. CleanFeed is a great service, actually.
Who told you about that?
Platform. It's very good. Was it you that told me that?
It was.
Oh, okay. I've enjoyed using that, it has to be said.
There's a lot of banging going on here. I apologise for incriminating little Henry. It's actually this end of the line.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. The headmaster doing a few renovations?
Well, if he is, he's doing them in Dublin, so...
Okay.
Foreign exchanges, the pound up to €1.12.
Zooming ahead. It's, free Britain is just going to be wonderful for sterling. Pound against dollar, 136.5 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 122. You're going to get €1, you say 12 cents for your British pound this morning.
You cannot be serious.
John McEnroe.
No, about the pound, you fool.
Oh, okay. I thought it was your impression.
Is that your passing shot?
I think we'll leave it there for today, don't you?
Right, yeah, thank you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
A 75-year-old resident of the Principality has died from COVID at the Princess Grace Hospital. This is the seventh death of a resident in Monaco and the fourth since the start of 2021. On Tuesday, 25 new positive cases were identified amongst residents, bringing the total to 1,092. 25 people are currently hospitalised and 9 people, including 6 residents, are still being treated in intensive care. 124 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. According to France's health minister, Olivier Véran, the English variant of COVID-19 represents around 1% of positive tests in France. On Tuesday, France identified 20,000 additional cases of COVID-19 and 362 deaths in 24 hours. During a hearing in the French Parliament on Tuesday, the health minister said that he's not in favour of giving priority to elected officials in France for the vaccination against COVID-19. He added that they should set an example and wait their turn. The minister was responding to a question about the possibility of granting priority access to vaccines for elected officials of the Republic. The French Ministry of Health has said that vaccination appointments for those aged 75 and over outside of nursing homes can be made from this Thursday, either by phone or through the website sante.fr, with the first vaccinations of that age group being carried out from next Monday, the 18th of January. However, locally, the City Council of Antibes-Juan-les-Pins has announced that COVID-19 vaccinations are due to begin this Friday, January the 15th, starting with people over 75 years old. The aim is to vaccinate the entire local population over 75 years of age who wish to be vaccinated. Since Tuesday afternoon, it's been possible to make an appointment. There are several ways to do this. For all the information, go to rivieradio.mc under this morning's news section. Meanwhile, French doctors have said that there's been an increase in the number of people wishing to be vaccinated against COVID. More than 50,000 people were vaccinated in France on Tuesday. In total, since the start of vaccination in France, nearly 190,000 people have been vaccinated. In light of the more favourable attitude towards the vaccination, doctors also remind patients that the studies which have been published, in particular on the first messenger RNA vaccines, provide reassuring results. To hear more about the vaccine and the campaign here in the Principality, Riviera Radio has had the opportunity to speak to the head of protection against infectious diseases at the Princess Grace Hospital, and you can hear the interview tomorrow morning at 8:15 during the Full English Breakfast Show. France's Health Defence Council will today decide on new measures in the fight against COVID-19. Prime Minister Jean Castex will announce the decisions taken tomorrow, Thursday the 14th. So far, according to French media, a third lockdown seems to be ruled out, suggesting that the new 6pm curfew in 25 departments is good enough and could be extended to the whole country, with also a possibility of the curfew in the week and a complete lockdown at weekends. Another concern to be discussed today is the situation in French schools, with reportedly the possible closure of school canteens, along with a ban on school sporting activities and school trips. And many high schools are already operating on a one-day-on, one-day-off schedule, along with online lessons. The objective of new measures would be to avoid the complete closure of establishments. In other news, a teenager has been injured in a road accident in Valbonne. The accident occurred near the Ile Verte roundabout during rush hour on Tuesday afternoon. Traffic came to a standstill in the area while emergency services intervened. The teenager, who was on a scooter at the time of the accident, was taken to the Lonval Hospital in Nice. Meanwhile, heavy snowfall has seen 2,500 vehicles come to a standstill on the A40 motorway between Lyon and Genève. Several hundred motorists found themselves confined to their cars overnight. Police and firefighters were mobilised along with the Red Cross. The mayor of Bellegarde in the Haute-Savoie opened a gymnasium to accommodate those stranded. Authorities say nearly 30 centimetres of snow fell, with traffic slowly resuming at 4 a.m. this morning. Two people have been given a six-month suspended prison sentence and three others are to appear in court in June after being linked to an illegal party organised in Marseille on December the 12th last year during the lockdown. They were convicted of complicity in endangering the lives of others. During a visit on Tuesday to the Ariane Group, a world leader in access to space, based in northern France, French Prime Minister Emmanuel Macron has promised 500 million euros dedicated to space. The head of state announced that half a billion euros of the recovery plan would be devoted to space under the leadership of the National Centre for Space Studies. The news was very much welcomed by Jean-Yves Le Gall, president of the National Centre for Space Studies, who accompanied the head of state during his visit. Le Gall said the investment would see 200 million euros spent on equipment manufacturers, which will mean that we will continue to be the leader in the field of satellites, adding that upcoming projects included going to Mars with the Americans on February the 18th and the Moon a little later with the Chinese. Space is more and more present in our daily lives, even helping to observe climate change and help in the fight against global warming with the use of satellites. Finally, a French series entitled Lupin has become the first French production to enter the Netflix top 10 in the US. A starring French actor and France's second favourite male personality, Omar Sy, the series, which was broadcast on January the 8th on Netflix, has quickly become one of the most viewed content on the platform in several countries, including France and the United States. The series is inspired by the adventures of gentleman burglar Arsène Lupin, a character created by Maurice Leblanc in 1905.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
And to go, c'est le plus grand des voleurs.
I've seen it, it's very good.
Gentlemen.
I've watched the whole series.
Football, there were three games in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Manchester United are top of the Premier League table for the first time in over 3 years. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side beat Burnley 1-0 at Turf Moor thanks to Paul Pogba's second-half goal, and the United boss was delighted with the World Cup winners' overall performance.
I thought him and Nemanja in midfield, I thought they really dominated for us, controlled the game, won so many headers. You know it's going to be a physical one. You know Ashley Barnes, Chris Wood, they're going to be... Played up to them, up in the air, into their bodies. So they back tackled, they won headers, they controlled the ball for us. And the two main factors that we won.
Everton are up to fourth after a 2-1 win over Wolves at Molineux. Alex Iwobi and Michael Keane with the goals for the Toffees. Fulham's boss Scott Parker has expressed his frustration at being given short notice to play Tottenham on Wednesday. The game was originally postponed due to a coronavirus outbreak at his club. Parker says the date of the game came as a surprise to him.
What's happened to us, obviously to confirm a game, a Premier League game as well, this is a Premier League, one of the best in the world, to confirm that at 9:30 on Monday morning is scandalous, really, to be honest with you, because it's not about the fixture. That's fine. I accept that maybe we have to play, but it's the notice, and it's that, you know, maybe these people in these places don't understand how you manage teams and how you manage players.
Tottenham's Jose Mourinho says he had it even worse. He was given 2 hours' notice of the original match being called off. Mourinho believes it's important the match is played despite the current difficult circumstances.
The biggest impact is to have matches postponed. The changing of, let's say, the order of the matches. The impact is, I would say, minimal. In the end, you have to play 19 matches at home and 19 matches away. If to help the Premier League to go and to hands properly, I think is a solution that we all have to accept as a positive solution.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Pressure's on then, playing catch-up now.
Oh, don't get overexcited.
I'm not. And there are two games tonight. It's Manchester City against Brighton.
Man City.
Has to be, doesn't it, really? And Spurs against Fulham.
Spurs.
Yeah. Hopefully no upsets tonight, as I picked Manchester City in my fancy league. In the English Championship last night, QPR were 2-0 winners at Luton, and Bournemouth and Millwall drew 1-1. In the Scottish Premiership, Dundee United and St Johnstone drew 2-2. Formula One, the new season will have a delayed start after both the Australian and Chinese Grand Prix were postponed because of COVID-19 restrictions. The season will now start in Bahrain on the 28th of March, with the Australian Grand Prix rescheduled for the 21st of November. A race at Imola has been added on April the 18th and will now be the second race of the season. Monaco is still scheduled for the 23rd of May. Cricket, Australia's Steve Smith has said he's shocked and disappointed at suggestions that he deliberately scuffed up the crease on the final day of the third test against India. The former captain was recorded on the stump camera scraping the crease with his boots during a drinks break. Smith has denied that he was deliberately removing the marks used to guide India's batsmen of the crease. The incident has been criticised by a number of current and former players, including the former England captain Michael Vaughan, who described it as very, very poor. And in rugby union, the French government has asked to see England and Ireland's virus containment plans before it will allow the national side to travel for the Six Nations. French clubs have been barred from taking part in European matches this month over fears of the spread of coronavirus. The French government says it requires necessary guarantees from both England and Ireland, and the framework of other nations must also respect the same requirements. France has given the go-ahead for the side's opening Six Nations game in Rome on February the 6th, but there are concerns over the new, more easily spread variant that was first identified in the UK. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaracim and the Var. The general situation is a depression 1,012 millibars over the Tyrrhenian Sea and high pressure 1,033 millibars over southwestern France. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,014 millibars and the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, northeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5, the sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,013 millibars. Now the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 4 to 6, southwesterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Not too bad again, mainly fine. Lights to moderate northwesterly winds. Temperatures 12 or 13 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 8 degrees with clear skies. Thursday and Friday mainly fine. Some rain overnight into Friday. Highs of 12 or 13 degrees. Finally,
France has complained the EU still uses English despite Brexit. French Minister Clément Beaune has said that Brussels should phase it out of everyday use in favour of French. The European Commission President delivered most of her flagship State of the Union speech in English and just a little in French. But Mr Beaune insisted that this is now the time for the EU countries to reaccustom themselves to speaking their own languages. He said it would be even less comprehensible after Brexit, and Paris has branded the use of English an obstacle to understanding within the EU. Brussels has 23 official languages, yet uses only English, French and German for everyday work. Of those, English is by far the most widely spoken and is the best known foreign tongue in all but five European countries. Former EU boss Jean-Claude Juncker repeatedly complained about the regular use of English and preferred to speak in his native French.
Did he really?
He did.
Don't think that's going to happen somehow.